You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition. As always, joined by Mark Sheldon, excellent Cincinnati beat writer. How you doing, Mark? Getting ready to get to Arizona?
Yeah, as we're talking right now, we got a pretty thick snow coming into Cincinnati. I don't think it's going to stick too much, but I'm hoping it's the last snow I see for the rest of the year because I'll be in Arizona next week.
Well, and I am hoping you don't have any of that snow on April 6th when the Reds have their opening day. This is going to be the 25th anniversary of that unbelievable 1990 World Series when they jumped up and knocked around the Oakland A's. And I see they're going to have the Nasty Boys lead the opening day parade. Before we get to that, just how cool is that event? I mean, given the Reds' history with always having, you know, having the traditional opener, it seems like opening day of Cincinnati is a little different than everywhere else.
Yes, it really is treated like a local holiday. A lot of kids are unofficially excused from school, so to speak, and obviously a lot of people take some time off of work, and they have a huge parade. I don't think any other team in the league does this. It's been a venerable tradition. It's one of the reasons that baseball is so big here. They're able to do it every year around the same time because the Reds always have the honor of opening at home, being the oldest team in professional baseball. That's something they've been able to do most of the time throughout their history. So the parade's kind of the kickoff, and then the game's a little later in the day. So it's a big deal. It's a really big deal around here.
Well, hey, Mark, with this being the 25th anniversary of the Nasty Boys team and a lot of promotions and activities planned around that team, do you think there's any chance that we could get a Lou Piniella, Rob Dibble, WWE wrestling event at some point?
Phil, I have a feeling they've probably made up by now. But, it's been a long time. It's been 25 years. It's hard to believe. I was a freshman at the University of Cincinnati that year, and I actually attended Game 2 of the World Series at Riverfront Stadium. It was a great season, and with Eric Davis and Barry Larkin being kind of big superstars of the team, but the Nasty Boys were kind of the heart and soul. That documentary on MLB Network a couple of weeks ago really brought that home. Is that these guys kind of were the character of the team. They were the guys that brought the intensity, and they're a huge reason why the Reds were able to lock down games after the sixth inning.
Hey, if I was a scout, this guy, I think, especially nationally, has kind of been, history's kind of washed over him a little bit, Eric Davis, great player. If I was a scout, he would be everything I would look for in an outfielder. To me, he's like the classic speed, power guy. Is he just not textbook?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He had it all, especially in the late 80s when he was coming on. He could hit for power. He could run fast. He could do it all. And really, I talked to him recently for a story that's going to be going up soon. Is in that 1990 World Series in Game 4, he made a diving attempt on a Willie McGee kind of tailing line drive and lacerated his kidney. And he thinks it took him about 3 years to really fully recover from that, and you can see his numbers after 1990 kind of start declining, and he never felt the same. And of course, he had some other injuries and some big back problems, and of course, he had cancer. And I think really the latter half of his career he wasn't able to show the kind of numbers he had in the first portion of his career. And you kind of wonder what might have been. He was already a great player with the Reds, but you wonder if maybe you could start talking about Cooperstown over 17 years if he was able to have some more healthy seasons.
Yeah, I mean, as great a player as Barry Larkin is, if I had a choice, it would be a tough one at their prime between those guys. Moving back to the year 2015, Mark, I see you recently had the privilege to listen to Sharon Robinson speak in an event at the Urban Youth Academy in Cincinnati. And not just that event, but the Youth Academy itself in Cincinnati. What do you see the significance of that and as part of Major League Baseball's effort to get more guys playing baseball and make baseball more accessible to really good athletes?
Yeah, it's an impressive place. The facility itself is every bit Major League quality. I mean, these are kids that are ages about, you know, 9 to 18 that are getting to play baseball, but they're getting a top-notch facility, and I've been out there a couple times now, and one of the things that's great about it is it is getting kids that may not otherwise have foregone and given up on baseball and having them brought back. They're really working, especially on the teenagers, to get them to stay in baseball, and there's one coach out there, an ex-minor leaguer with the Reds named Cameron Satterwhite, who is considered kind of a Pied Piper of sorts of drawing boys that were maybe on the verge of quitting and getting to stay. They have a very extensive weightlifting program, which the boys seem to like, and they're also learning, you know, baseball skills. And a lot of coaches from University of Cincinnati and Xavier University come over and help out, and every now and again some ex-Reds and current Reds participate in some of the clinics. So it's been a nice thing. And then Sharon Robinson was there to get encourage young kids in grades 4 through 9 to write essays for the Breaking Barriers essay contest, and that can result in a trip to the All-Star game and or a laptop computer. It's kind of a way of just showing how to express themselves and to show character and get around adversity. And as you know, Maggie Zanies was one of the winners of that contest in 2011, and she's obviously gone on to some pretty good special things.
Absolutely. Looking ahead to spring training, one guy I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I hope I'm able to catch him in a game, is Raisel Iglesias, Cuban signing of the Reds, and to me, an asset. He's kind of gone a little bit under the radar. I was thinking more likely to be a bullpen guy than a starter, but it sounds like he's going to get a real chance to win a spot at the bottom of that rotation, or at least has a chance this spring to break out. Tell me a little bit about him. What's his package of tools?
Well, he's easily the most intriguing player I'm looking forward to seeing this spring. Like you said, he kind of flew under the radar, and a lot of teams had projected him as a bullpen guy, but the Reds really were adamant that they thought he could start, and if it didn't work out, then they could put him in the bullpen. And, you know, he didn't get to pitch much last year because of his defection. He was in Haiti, and he had to wait for a visa to get to the United States upon signing. But he got to the Arizona Fall League and threw seven games, seven innings, all scoreless, allowed one hit, struck out seven. And the Reds came away pretty impressed. They feel like he's got three or four good pitches. He's got low to mid-90s fastball that they really like. He can move it around a lot, and they just like what they have with him. So they feel like, you know, maybe in a perfect world he'd get a little bit more experience in the minor leagues just to get comfortable pitching here. But if he comes out and blows their doors off and makes it really hard, he could push his way onto the roster, either as a rotation guy or a bullpen guy.
Well, maybe the opposite experience from Aroldis Chapman when he got there with all the huge expectations. And, in a lot of ways, he was alone as a Cuban. How much of a help would you anticipate it would be for Iglesias that he'll have Aroldis Chapman around to kind of show him the ropes?
I think that can only help. And, of course, catcher Brian Pena, who is also Cuban, will be there. And you know, Pena is just a gregarious kind of fellow. And I know he's already been in contact with Iglesias. He's been catching some of his bullpens in Miami. So I would imagine that between the three of them, there'll be a nice little relationship there. And there's obviously other Latin players to see, not just Cubans, that will make him feel comfortable. And it'll be, you know, interesting to see. I got to meet him when he signed last summer, and he seems like a pretty nice guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch. I haven't seen him pitch yet. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you, whether it's a backfield or in a big game this spring. Love to watch him. So, Mark, I do appreciate it. Safe travels down to Arizona. For Mark Sheldon, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.